Welcome, everybody, to the Freedom Fiends, fighting hard for your right to sleep under a bridge. I'm Nima Vedati here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean, and luckily you sleep in a house or in a bunker, not under a bridge, because you guys got pounded by some snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that later. We were in the snowpocalypse for 17 hours. We had a little taste of the Schumer hits the fan here in Wyoming, and and we passed the test. My wife and I were like, yeah, we could do this for 17 days, not just 17 hours. And people died in this storm, and it was horrible, and there were trees knocked out all over. And my internet's up. But my internet cable is lying in my backyard of the windowless bunker, which is great that it's still connected, because that means we can play this clip by Democratic Senator Alan Grayson.
Congressman.
I don't care. Is he even still a real congressman? Didn't he get voted out? I don't know.
I thought he did, but I think he came back.
I think he's back.
The clip.
Yeah. I'm going to play the clip. I'm going to set up the clip. He uses the name of our show, Freedom Fiends, in a generic way. Which is a good thing. He's genericizing our term, and we invented this term. When we first started this show 2.5 years ago, I searched in quotes on Google, and the term did not exist. So we built that, Senator Grayson. He's using the name of our show, Freedom Fiends, which is, you know, fiend is little kid speak or rapper speak for a fiend.
Somebody who really wants something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, we invented it before the show. I used it in a rap line for the Freedom of Ingestion song in our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Yep. Now, here's Alan Grayson this week on the Bill Maher show insulting Republicans by calling them freedom fiends. He's talking about the total strip the government down to the core so you could drown it in the bathtub people. Now, here's what he says.
I see it a little differently. I think there's really three Republican parties. There's the corporate shills. There are the religious fanatics. And then there are the freedom fiends, the ones who want to make sure that you have the right to sleep under a bridge.
So Jesus freaks, gun nuts, generic obese suburbanites. And let me add the super rich. That's the Republican Party, isn't it?
Yeah.
Freedom fiends.
So then is Bill Maher saying that freedom fiends are just generic obese suburbanites?
Gun nuts. Yeah, I guess so. I want to play that again. It's not every day we get mentioned in the congressional record on the Bill Maher show. Let's play that again one more time, and then we're going to go to the phones.
Yeah.
I see it a little differently. I think there's really three Republican parties. There's the corporate shills. There are the religious fanatics, and then there are the freedom fiends, the ones who want to make sure that you have the right to sleep under a bridge.
Yeah. I've slept under a bridge before. See, the freedom fiends want to make sure you can sleep under a bridge as long as it's privately owned and operated.
If you want to. Nobody should kick you out from under the bridge, man.
Yeah.
What if you're trying to recreate some kind of Kurt Cobain or Red Hot Chili Peppers experience, you know?
Yeah. If you're reading On the Road by Jack Kerouac out of a backpack but still have a chromed robot turd to tweet your thoughts to the world.
There you go.
Yes. Your only possessions, you're leading a zen-like existence. Your only possessions are your chromed robot turd and a PDF of On the Road by Jack Kerouac. And we're going to go to the phones. We got Robert calling in already. I guess he saw the number and wants to call in. We'll give the number out later, too. Go ahead, Robert. Hello, Robert.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Robert, what's up? You're on the Freedom Fiends. What's on your mind?
Well, I talked to him or chatted with Michael Dean. He said he wanted me to call in on Mark Stevens' method of dealing with the courts.
I said you could call in. You told me your whole story, and I said you could call in if you wanted to share it with other people. So Mark Stevens, to give a little background here, is a guy who does a talk show on the internet. I don't think it's on any radio stations. Maybe it was on one. I think now it's on none. It's on streaming on some networks, and Mark Stevens does a show where he says he doesn't give legal advice, but to me it sounds like giving legal advice. He is not an attorney, and he tells people or makes suggestions of how to do things in court, and I had a problem with him and took him to task and wrote an open letter to him about a year ago because he gave some really horrible advice to a friend of mine, Jillian, that would have landed her in a cage for the rest of her life. And, you know, basically his thing is kind of challenging the judge on their authority to, you know, basically we on the Freedom Fiends here believe that the government is a collective hallucination and it doesn't have any moral authority to do what it does. However, that said, we're not sovereign citizens. We're not people who say, hey, don't take, you know, we don't tell people, basically we understand that even though the government is a collective hallucination, it doesn't like being told that. And there are no secret words and magic words you can say to make it stop existing. It's going to take a bunch of people changing their minds and a lot of education. And I don't think the way to do that is by calling a judge.
Here's the thing. The judges that make like six figures and drive Lexuses and have a giant house, they're not going to listen to that stuff about how the government is a fiction because they're not going to break character. They're committed to that role because that role is what puts food on their table and a nice car under their butt.
So, Robert, you wrote me and thanked me for writing the open letter to Mark Stevens that I wrote a year ago and said it made you feel better because you weren't the only person who thought this way. What is your experience with Mark Stevens and what happened?
Well, I mean, I met Mark Stevens about a year ago. We've been working together. I got serious felony charges and he took me on as a client, quote unquote.
What are your charges? Can I ask what your charges are?
Oh, it's a issue with a neighbor of mine who assaulted me and then is using, as Larkin Rose puts it, he's misusing the legal system to attack me. So he's created all these charges against me. And so I've been having to defend myself. And I did nothing wrong. Even if the code and the Constitution did apply, I didn't break any codes. There's nothing that I've done wrong. But I figured I'd go with Mark because it was true. What he was saying is true. You know, where's the evidence that the code applies? And I've been screaming that for a year now. But what happened was it was a mistrial, and it was clearly a double jeopardy issue where this whole thing could end. And as soon as I passed that by Mark, he dumped me and refused to return my calls, refused to, you know, return my emails and my messages on Skype. Then he kicked me out of the Skype chat, and I didn't understand why. Why would he do this after we've been working so long together, and I've pretty much verbatim repeated what he's told me in the court. Now, the result, as I look back, hindsight being 2020, is all I've managed to do is make the prosecutor and the judges so mad at me that they're coming at me with everything they have. And it's made it much worse. And I wish I had not gone this route. And I wish I knew he wasn't a lawyer, but him consulting at $100 an hour made me think that he was at least knowledgeable about the law.
Really?
Right?
$100 an hour. You could get an actual attorney for not much more than that.
Right.
Some places.
Right. And it was probably the route I should have went. And I'm just sorry I went this way because, what he says is the truth. And it's probably great with traffic tickets. I mean, you know, have all the fun you want in there facing a $100 fine. But when you're facing 45 years in prison, this is not the thing to do.
Wow.
They will come after you with everything they have. And they're burying me. I've got more charges now against me because of it.
What are they doing aside from charges to you?
Oh, geez, they harass my family. They threaten everybody I know. They don't follow their rules. I'll tell you that much. I mean, this whole holding their feet to the fire is a bunch of bull. Okay, they're not going to follow their rules, and they'll interpret it the way they want. And going in there, it's hey, where's the evidence? To me, it's like this: you're in an alley getting robbed at gunpoint. Mark says, "Ask them where they get their authority from." That's how bad it is. They're going to beat you with a stick, right? Now, I went in front of a jury, and it actually does have some effect when the jury's there. Okay, I got to admit, you know, I went in front of the jury, and I said, look, you know, I'll sign a guilty plea right now. Not that I'm guilty, but I'll sign it just to end this if they can show that if they have evidence to prove that the Code and the Constitution apply to me, and that was effective. But when the jury's not in the room and you're dealing with the prosecutor and the judge, you're going to get hammered, and they're going to tear you apart, and they've been ripping me apart for 15 months now.
How did the judge and prosecutor respond? Like, can you give us an example of dialogue of something you said to the judge or the prosecutor and how they responded? Because in my imagination, I don't think they would go, oh, you've got a point there. Yes, it doesn't apply to you. They would make some sort of ridiculous remark about how this is the weight of the law and it's against you and we live in a civil society and yada yada. What did they say to you and what did you say to them?
Well, the first time I brought it up was a moment, was a big moment for me, because I knew once I brought this out and once I asked this question, knowing there's no evidence, that it's going to irritate them, it's going to upset them, and that would burn my bridges with making any kind of deal to end this with them, okay? So it took a lot for me to do it. And when I did it, finally, it was actually kind of humorous. They didn't know what to make of it. I mean, they just kind of hemmed and hawed and got mad and got up out of their chair. I mean, I had a judge get up out of the, out of his off the desk there and wave his hand in the air and say, "Stop bringing up all this jurisdiction stuff." I'm like, "You want me to stop asking for evidence?" I mean, it's kind of hilarious to watch them break down like that. But I'll tell you what, it's not funny when they come back at you.
Was Mark in the courtroom with you?
No, he's in Arizona. I'm in Florida.
So give us an example of like what you said and what they said. A couple of those, if you can.
All right. Well, first of all, I've been through four judges and three prosecutors, and the second prosecutor came up and opened up a book. I didn't know where he got this book from. It was about 5 inches thick. It started explaining how the 14th Amendment gave him the authority, blah, 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 and he kept going on. And then I just looked at him and I said, "Where's my name in that book?" And he didn't know what to say to that. It's been an eye-opener and a learning experience, but they just switch prosecutors, they switch judges, they do whatever they have to get you. If they want you, they're going to get you. And saying this just makes them so mad that they make it worse for you. And now I'm really in a bad position now, and I feel Mark has basically just clung on to about 5 or 6 sentences that he uses to generate profit for himself.
How much,
once you get into a real defense, he's got nothing.
How much money have you given him over this time?
Oh, no, he's been, I guess you would say, pro bono.
Oh.
He did this as a favor, as Stefan Molyneux sent me to him.
Really?
And, well, Stefan didn't know what to do with the charges that were against me, and he said I should talk to Mark Stevens, and I've been working with him tight for a year now.
We're going to keep you on after the break here and talk a little bit more about Mark Stevens helping people in the court system with Robert on the Freedom Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
All right, welcome back to Freedom Fiends Live. Of course, we're fighting hard for your right to sleep under a bridge. That's what Alan Grayson says about Freedom Fiends. But we digress. I am Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming, being battered by snowstorms, but still surviving. How are you doing, Mr. Dean?
No, I'm not. I'm writing my dad and say, look, a Democratic congressman used my show name as an insult, Dad. Check it out. I'm proud of that, man. I'm so proud of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Me too. You built that. We built that. All right.
Yeah.
And with the line on us, we've got, of course, Robert, who's telling us the tale of following Mark Stevens' advice. Mark Stevens would have you believe it's not legal advice, but Robert was using this kind of stuff in court, and it's actually gotten him into what he says is more trouble than he thinks he would have been in if he had not told the state to their faces that they were a fiction and didn't have the authority over him that they think they have. Robert, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So why don't you go ahead and tell us now, you say that this whole thing, you know, telling the state, telling the judge, telling the prosecutors that they don't have proper authority or rightful authority over you, you say that's made things worse. Could you elaborate?
Well, it's not really telling them. What you're doing is asking questions. You're asking them to provide the evidence that they have the authority. So you're not making any kind of statements or assertions. But what has happened is they'll pull everything they have out to get you, and one of those tools is go get a psychological evaluation. Let's see if we can get you incompetent to stand trial, but competent enough to have an attorney attached to you where they can prosecute you without any appealable errors, right? That's the whole reason for the public defender.
So basically questioning the state means you're crazy, just like in the Soviet Union. Right. And I agree 100% with Mark Stevens that these people have no moral authority. My issue is telling them that in a felony case doesn't necessarily make your life easier. And back when I wrote that letter and was arguing with Mark Stevens, I was saying, you know, you may have a good, you may have some success stories you can show me with traffic tickets, but show me the felony. Show me the felony charge where you've made it better. And here's a felony charge where it apparently didn't make it better.
So what are you facing now, Robert? Go ahead and tell us what you're facing now.
What are you facing now, and what do you wish you'd done differently, and what are you going to do now?
Well, I mean, of course, they added another felony charge. They tried to get me to a psychological evaluation, or psychiatrist, actually. And there was no direct court order to go to these evaluations, so I refused to go, and now they're holding me in contempt.
What was the additional felony they added because of your questioning?
Oh, it was just attached to the original incident, the guy down the street just making up more. I don't want to get into the details because it's regardless of what the charges are.
Yeah.
Because I still got a trial to go to, and I'd rather not talk about it. But
yeah,
the point is, I mean, what I would have done, I probably would have still defended myself. But I would have hired somebody, a consultant, maybe a legal assistant or somebody, to help me maneuver the legal system rather than just standing there going, prove you can do this, while they beat the crap out of me. You know, I mean, this is not an effective way. I mean, you want to do tickets, fine. You should stick to tickets.
Yeah.
But you go into somebody who's got their life on the line and facing 45 years, this is not the thing to do, is to upset these people. And where I'm going to go from here is I'm going to continue to defend myself. And what they did was double jeopardy when they declared a mistrial. And I'm got that. That's in the Supreme Court right now. And by the way, all the motions Mark has given me have all been denied for the last year. Every single one denied right on the face without even a reason or basis for the denial. I had somebody else write a motion, Chris Wiest, and he wrote a beautiful motion that went right to the Supreme Court. So I think I'm going to end it on that note. But I want people to know that you're right, and that Mark has no legal expertise. Now, I never thought he was a lawyer, but I thought he was experienced in consulting pro se defendants. I didn't realize he knew nothing of the law, and that's what upsets me the most. And I don't want anybody else to end up in this situation. And if you got serious felony charges, you need to look at everything. Do not just put your eggs in Mark's basket, because you could get really hurt.
I appreciate you calling in and sharing your story with us, and I hope that helps someone else. And we thank you for your call. We really appreciate you calling in, Robert.
I thank you. Thanks for getting the word out.
Yep. Take care, man.
All right. Bye now.
All right. So, Nima.
Yeah, that's really great. I think you're right that if people can be informed on this thing, because, you know, if we're trying to talk about how we don't need a state and we don't need state action to do stuff, it's information that people need to have when they come across somebody who, I don't want to say the word charlatan, but somebody who might not be the best person for the job.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate Robert calling in and letting us know his experience. Hopefully that can help other people to realize what their decisions should be or elucidate something further. So we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends.
We're
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. Yeah, it's Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Thank you so much for joining us. I am, of course, Nima Vedati here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there a bit further north and a bit further west of me out in Wyoming. How's it going, man?
Good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America in Wyoming that just faced a big storm. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But first of all, I just want to say the Freedom Fiends do fight for your right to sleep under a bridge if you want. So we had a storm, man. We had power outages. We had 17 hours without power. Now that doesn't sound like a lot, but it was 30 degrees out and there we got like a foot of snow. No, what did we get, like 18 inches of snow in a day? Wow. And the bizarre thing was there was it was an early storm and it rained and the leaves were still on the tree and then it froze. So all of the trees were covered with ice and we heard trees around our neighborhood and in our yard breaking during the night. Yep. It sounded like rifle shots. And then we heard, we heard and watched transformers on power lines exploding. We saw flashes from eight of them in our neighborhood and we watched one of them like 2/3 of a block away through the trees. We watched it catch fire and explode and then go dark. And we were about to call 911, but then it's like, okay, it's done and they know about it.
I'm sure everybody else was calling them too. That's what really is more dangerous a lot of times than just a lot of snow or a blizzard is the freezing rain. We had some of that back in I lived in Crosby, Texas, and we had a storm that was freezing rain. And you know, Texas doesn't get cold very often, but every now and then you'll get a freeze. And it was the same thing. The rain hit the trees and then it froze and the trees just shattered. And I remember there were people actually having fun with it. Like they would put a water hose up in their tree because they knew it was coming and just turned the hose on and they had these beautiful like frozen trees that looked like they came out of a movie or a video game or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. We had a giant branch that probably weighs 400 pounds fall down and break our fence, our beautiful fence that keeps the world at bay. So we're going to go out and buy our first chainsaw today, which is kind of cool. And we have a tree in the front yard that was about 25 feet tall, and now it's about 10 feet tall. It's really a pity. It just broke in half. And the guy down the street had like a 90-foot cottonwood that just fell over. I mean, it broke in half, and it's lying in his yard. It's really sad. It's but we did well. We were, you know, we had food, we had water, we had firewood. We made a fire in the fireplace and kept warm. It was down to like 56 degrees in the house, and then we built a fire and had a romantic evening with candles.
People always rag on preppers, but you're, and I wouldn't say you're prepper level 10 or anything like that, but your preparedness has actually, I mean, you were able to feel safe and comfortable with the knowledge that you could be without power for days or weeks.
In big cities there's looting when the power is out for this long. And I didn't see any looting. I mean, the only cars I saw driving around were like privately owned, you know, like get everything back running people going to work at 4 in the morning. It was nice. It was nice. Wyoming, Wyoming's a better place to be than L.A. or New York when the Schumer hits the fan.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
The name of this show, too, the name of this episode is The Snow Must Go On, because nice. I didn't have power, and I was calling you guys on cell phones yesterday, you and Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, talking about how we would still do a show without, you know, basically you guys were gonna Skype in, and then I was going to call in on the cell phone, because the yes. cell phone worked.
Yeah, I mean, the government may have shut down, but the freedom fiends will never have a shutdown. So, yeah. Alan Grayson, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Hey, in the coming apocalypse, I may be doing this show from under a bridge on a chromed robot turd. If they keep wrecking the economy. And we want to talk a little bit about this whole attitude of how people are apologists for government intervention when government intervention is what caused all these problems, you know? Mm. They mm-hmm. just celebrated the 100th year of the income tax, and
somebody celebrated that? I mean, what did they do?
They had it. They had it. It happened. I'm sure the statists celebrated it. Yeah, I mean, probably. We want to talk about two things today, mainly. One is the shooting in D.C. where the unarmed woman was shot by the Capitol Police and then applauded by the senators and congressmen, yeah. you know, in the chambers. Like, they gave them a standing ovation for the brave work of what I consider murder. I mean, it was a homicide for sure. And then the other thing we want to talk about is the closing of Silk Road, the online actual free market that does not involve the government. So this lady in D.C., now I want to say really clearly up front, our take on this is it's a bad thing that she was shot. And the reason I want to say it clearly up front is when I was using my little hand crank survival radio yesterday, listening for news updates of what's going on, I was waiting for Glenn Beck to quit yakking so I could get to the news at the top of the hour, because my battery-powered atomic clock still worked when the power was out. So I knew what time it was, and I knew that radio stations play news from one top of the hour till six after generally. So I was waiting for him to quit yakking. He was talking about it, and he and his co-host were being so, like, sarcastic in a weird way that I couldn't tell. At first, I thought they were taking the Freedom Fiends kind of mood on it, of like, yeah, uh-huh. it's a horrible thing, but they were being sarcastic and apologist for the state. But it was confusing to the point where I was like, I don't even know anymore what he believes. And after a few minutes, I realized he started talking not in character sarcastically. I guess he was being the mainstream press or like some faction of them or something. Not even the mainstream press, because they're glad this lady got shot, but he was like being the liberal non-white press or something and being sarcastic, and he sounded like the Freedom Fiend. So I thought, you know, I didn't know what he was saying, but then he went into being himself and was saying, basically, it's a great thing that these people, these goons acted quickly and murdered this woman because she was a threat to the state. And right. So I want to make it clear, you agree with that, right, Nima, that you don't think it's a good thing that she was shot and killed?
Why would I think that's a good thing? Of course not. And I think it's a horrible thing that people are trying to paint her as insane and sort of taking the tack that she had this coming and it was well deserved and the police were doing their jobs and oh, what heroes they are. But, you know, I just saw a headline and maybe she was a little bit unbalanced or insane, because Fox News is reporting that this is what her sisters are saying about her. And I'm going to give you a quote here. This is a quote from Miriam Carey's sister, Valerie. She says, quote, "Miriam did not believe the president or any government official was going to do her harm." And that's just insane. How can you think that the president or any government official is not going to do you harm?
Well, I'll say this. If I'm ever murdered by the government and they interview my brothers and sisters, don't believe what they have to say, because I've talked to you today, Nima, more than I've talked to my brothers and sisters combined in a year.
Right.
I mean,
well, I mean,
don't talk to
obviously
them.
I was being a joke.
I don't talk to them much. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying, like, they yeah. don't know me. They would remember me from 40 years ago and describe me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Well, her sisters are actually trying to say that she wasn't insane, but that was one of their quotes, was that she didn't believe the president or any government official was going to do her harm.
Well, I thought
that sounds insane to me, because I know that those are the main people trying to do me harm.
Yeah.
Is the president and government officials.
Well, I found her Facebook page, which is now been deleted, but I mean, the posts on it don't seem crazy at all. I need to start doing reference and background checks for men. The BS is getting tired. All the whack men out there handing out fake resumes to chicks are going to find out that you are whack, so stop wasting our time. Okay, it's a lady who's had bad, you know, trouble with dating men. That's not unusual. I just want to ask, why is it the same people that hated on you as a child then want to be your friend on Facebook? That's, I would say that. I've had, you know, my bullies from grade school try to contact me on social medias. Let's see. Here's a good one. Had a flash with death this morning. This is from 2009. I thank God is watching over me, and I must have had my an angel is the only way I can explain it. My car spinned out of control on I-95 this morning because of the ice, and the only thing that stopped me from slamming into the divider were the pieces of the car from an existing accident. Weird. I'm okay. My car is not. All right. So let's talk about her car. Let's talk about my problem with how the media is spinning this. They're saying she rammed the White House barricades. Now, I can't tell if this was a three-point event or a two-location event, because the footage they're showing over and over and over that was shot by from one angle by a tourist in the park and another angle by an Arabic news crew that was filming one lady with a protest sign and happened to catch it. They happened to catch this in the background. I can't tell if that's the White House entrance or not. It doesn't look very secure to me. It's those little pylons that are like 2 feet high that are cement and a foot in diameter. And there's people in a park like right next to it. Like, it doesn't look like a secure location. Now, is that the secondary location or the primary location? And at that location, the footage shows, it doesn't show her ramming it. To me, it shows a couple police cars trying to pit maneuver her and her trying to evade them while men, some of them not in police clothes, run up and point guns at her. It looks like she's trying to evade a carjacking to me. There's no front end damage. The airbag did not deploy. There's no ram. It wasn't a high speed ramming. I think her GPS didn't work and she took a wrong turn. Now, the other thing is, if that's the secondary location and she fled to there, I want to see video of what she allegedly rammed, because it's not out there. And you know, every entrance of the White House has cameras.
It's the White House. Yeah. Come on, man. You can't tell me that they don't have a complete picture they can put together of this, or a complete video they could put together of this from when she first entered those grounds and left, and the whole sequence of events. Why don't we have that yet?
Where's the drone footage? There's supposed to be drones over DC constantly filming everything. I mean, not even that. Like, that sounds kind of like extreme, but no, there probably is drone footage of it. But if it's the White House gate, any entrance to the White House definitely has multiple cameras from multiple angles on it. Where is that footage?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I don't know if maybe it's because their fax machine broke at the FOIA office, so they can't get the video out.
That's a real thing. That's a real thing.
They don't know if there's a request.
Yeah, when you do FOIA requests at which government agency?
I think it was the Department of Justice. I'm not sure. I think it was the DOJ.
Yeah, they've been turning them down because they say that their one fax machine doesn't work, so they can't give you the information you're requesting.
Yeah, and I guess they wouldn't fax a video out. It was just a joke. But either way, okay, so even
first,
if they
first
did,
of all, let's name the lady. She has a name, and it's
Miriam.
Miriam Carey. Okay.
Carey, yeah. Miriam Carey. Now, okay, so if you were a cop, and some people say, well, why didn't they try to disable her car or shoot out the tires? I don't know.
I agree. I agree because, I mean, it's different than when apologists say, you know, why did you shoot that boy who was trying to mug you with a knife? Why didn't you shoot him in the leg? Because it's hard and you want to shoot for center mass to stop somebody. But a car, it's probably easier to shoot out the tires of a car than to shoot the driver in it. We'll have more on the Freedom Fiends after this.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
We're back on the Freedom Fiends.
And we're back for the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. It is now the bottom of hour one. Thank you for sticking with us. How you doing, Mr. Michael? I am Nima Vidati.
Good. I think that everyone has the right to live under a bridge, according to Congressman Grayson.
Yeah, I'm glad he finally saw the light.
I'm running with that. I think you should make a hip-hop of it, like Max Headroom. Like, live under a bridge. Bridge, 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 bridge. I mean, I want to write, you know, I read this book, Steal This Book, when I was a kid, and it's a commie book, it's a violent book, it's horrible, but the guy doesn't like the government. I like that. I learned that from him at a young age, which... You know, the powers that be would probably say means I'm mentally ill or have problems. But, right. You know, I read all kinds of things. And just as you read something doesn't mean you're anything. Like bad people like the Unabomber. I mean, that guy only had one book in his shack, and his book was Al Gore's book on climate change. So you can't judge a writer by the reader and vice versa. But that just kind of made the thing that I liked about that book was on the back cover of it, it had negative statements about the book as blurbs. You know, usually right. The blurbs on the back of the book are like, this is great. It changed my life. But there was a quote on the back of that from some major publisher who turned down the book that said, this book will end free speech as we know it. So the Freedom Fiends know to take a bad review and use it as a plus, like Senator Grayson or Congressman Grayson using the name of our show, the Freedom Fiends, in a negative light on the Bill Maher show, saying that there's three kinds of Republicans, and the third kind are these ones that just want you to – these freedom fiends who just want you to live under a bridge.
Yeah. Well, doesn't he show his hand there too, and the Democratic Party's hand, in that freedom is not considered a good thing in their minds. They are not fans of freedom. They don't want people to have it, and they think people who are fanatical or fanatical about freedom have something wrong in their heads.
Yeah, and it's a common thing of saying it's apologizing for government intervention, which causes all the problems. It's not the cure.
Right.
And he's basically saying, you know, and the people he's talking about, I know who he's talking about. He's talking about like Rand Paul, Ron Paul, and who's the guy who's kind of the Ron Paul now?
Ted Cruz.
No. Well, they lump him in there.
People think he's
Justin Amash. Justin Amash is the Ron Paul, the only one left really in Congress. And, you know, they're basically saying people who want grandmother to starve under a bridge eating dog food, and that's what would happen without the government. And we actually, the Freedom Fiends, us real Freedom Fiends, think that those guys are like the minarchist Republicans. We think they want too much government. We really do.
Yeah, you know why grandma's starving is because healthcare costs so much because of regulations and licensing and the medical industrial complex that grandma has to spend so much on that kind of stuff. She can't buy food.
Yeah.
There's property taxes, so she can't still live in her home if she had bought a home and paid it all off. She still has to pay thousands of dollars a year just to keep living there. And the fact that the money, you know, if she had saved money her whole life, it was pointless for her because her savings, if it was in a savings account, didn't keep up with inflation.
Everybody who's been forced to work, everybody who's worked, you know, their whole life from like when they're 18 till when they're 65, who's been forced to pay into Social Security, if those people had taken that same amount of money every week and bought gold, they'd be retiring, all of them, as millionaires.
Yep.
But the government thinks it can do better than you can. And we disagree.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. Even if it was true, even if the government did do better and they had some kind of better system of doing this, I would still not think it was a good idea because they force you into it, you know? And that to me is why it will never be a system that works, is because it doesn't rest on pleasing a market desire or a need. But government regulations, rules, things like Social Security, they rest on force, on forcing you to do this. And if something was a good idea or if something worked, you don't have to force people to do it. You don't have to force people to sign up for Netflix. You know, you don't have to force people to get the next smartphone. Those are good things that people want. You know, you start to look at an idea as being fishy or not a good idea when the only way people accept the idea is if a gun's pointed at their head.
Yeah, and I want to give out the call-in number. It's 1-855-660-4261. If you want to call in the Freedom Fiends, it's 855-660-4261. And after the break, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about Bitcoin and things like that and how it's a solution and how the government doesn't like it. And they're trying to shut it down because it really is the free market.
Yes, it really is. And the feds think they did a great thing and they think they won some kind of amazing battle and they'll eventually win the war by shutting down the Silk Road. But it's such a beautiful story because there's so many other things popping up to take its place. And some people are saying it's kind of like when Napster was shut down. The marketplace or the ways of getting media like that got way better to where now we have things like Pirate Bay and BitTorrent. And people are saying they could see that with things like the Silk Road. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends in just a bit.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. Top of hour two. This is Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio. I am Nima Vadati here in Central Texas. I'm in Round Rock now, but I'll be in Fredericksburg later if you want to come by and say hi. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming.
Yeah, I'm Michael W. Dean, Freedom Fiend, broadcasting from a windowless troll bridge.
A bridge without windows. That sounds like a bridge too far. Well, so how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, and we're gonna have a special treat after this half hour that we can't mention yet, but Nima has to go report to the FEMA camp. He's on the work release program for the FEMA camp, and we're gonna have Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, filling in for the last half hour of the show.
It's good. You know, my tolerance for Ensure has gone down. So hopefully I'll be able to appreciate it being force-fed to me a little bit more this time.
To withstand the waterboarding with Ensure.
Yes, yep. The Ensure boarding.
We got a caller on the line here. We have Daniel, who I don't know where he's – what bridge or bunker he's broadcasting from. But he wants to talk about Mark Stevens and the woman in D.C. Go ahead, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hi. So I'm not the treat you're talking about then either.
You're one of them.
One of them. Oh, thank you. You guys are a treat. I really enjoy your show. I try never to miss it.
Where are you calling from? Thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Sun City, California. I'm the little red dot on your spinning globe there that says Sun City.
Cool.
It's an amazing globe. It looks like most of your listeners are in the Middle East.
A lot of them are. Yeah. Most of our listeners are places people live, I have found. But yeah, we do have a few in Iran, and we have one on this weird undisclosed location that says like U.S. military, and it's at like 0 degrees latitude, 0 degrees longitude. It's where the prime meridian meets the equator, and there's like nothing there. There's no island there. So either someone entered their coordinates wrong, or it's a secret undersea military structure where they monitor the fiends.
Well, the other thing about that globe is it only puts dots on there for people who are visiting the site itself, like not necessarily people listening on streaming or downloading, like or getting it from a podcatcher. Oh. So I wonder if maybe it's easier in places like Iran or Saudi Arabia to listen from the site rather. Maybe they don't have iTunes or something.
Yes,
or maybe it's blocked.
You can't well state that enough.
Well, it's nice to have all those dots glowing anyway. Must make your heart glow a little.
It does. It does. So what's on your mind today? You said Mark Stevens and the woman in D.C.
Yes. I see a connection there in that it's what we saw on TV. And, in fact, when I just hit Google because her name had slipped my mind, and I like you, I like to mention her name rather than say the woman, all the stories that came up were all painting her as delusional and anti-Obama. And I see a thread there, but the thing with Mark Stevens, you know, what he seems to criticize, I think I heard him once on the radio or on my Wi-Fi radio, that, you know, the whole thing about government being this collection of fools that claim to have jurisdiction over people, and foolishly we are taught to go along with it. And in her case, the foolishness was even more apparent in Congress when they were yelling and applauding the murder of this woman, or at least the homicide, as you correctly say, that these people that run the state are cowardly, foolish bumblers. And that's something we have going for us, whether you're Mark Stevens or anybody else. When push comes to shove, I mean, you got to watch where you're going to shove them, but, you know, because they do have guns, but they really are not very good at what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading this book, Government by Emergency, by Gary North, and it's written in 1983, and there's one thing I saw in passing that kind of stood out to me was he said he was anti-nuclear power and gave an explanation, and I've never – of all the reasons I've ever heard people pro or con nuclear power, his was one I'd never thought of, is that it is the most federally controlled type of power. So it's the kind they could most easily cut off. You know, and that's kind of – that was more true in 83 than now. I mean, everything's kind of federalized now. But it's a point I've never thought of. Like, and he also said that fortunately it doesn't work very well, which I think I agree with you that that's one of the saving graces of this giant behemoth that is the government, which is a dinosaur chewing its tail and not knowing it because it's so giant and stupid. It is one of the saving graces of it is that it's very inefficient, you know, and the people that Grayson was calling the freedom fiends in Congress are actually not freedom fiends because they're people that want to make government more streamlined and make it work better. And I don't want that. Do you, Nima?
No, I want it to go away. I want the rest of it to shut down.
Yeah, it didn't shut down.
Well, I want you to know I'm working to that extent. I think I've sent you to my website before, and I'm composing more analysis of what we can do. See, a lot of people are talking about what's wrong with what's going on now with the current system, if you want to call it a system. And I see it as a step toward a free, voluntary, non-coercive, cooperative way of living. And a lot of that's already happening now. I don't even have to invent it. I just have to highlight it a little bit. And there's actually a short little speech on my website about that.
Before you go, do you want to give out your web address for people? I've looked at it. It's a good site.
Yeah, it's all one word, radiofreemind.com.
Excellent. We appreciate you calling, Daniel. Thank you for your call.
Okay, thanks for what you guys do, too.
Take care. Thank you for your service.
Man.
Excellent.
You know, it's really important, too, because now is the time, right? There are so many failings of the state, and I think it's beautiful to point them out now, but it's the where do we go from here? You know, the dinosaur is thrashing in the tar pits, but what can we do to make sure it doesn't rescue itself and come back and lash out angrily and violently at all the people who've been laughing at it this whole time?
Nikki Darling is calling the shutdown meltdown in Mordor.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
And back to the fact that they're just delusional. I was listening to Kelly Vlahos talking to Scott Horton, and she actually spends some time in DC, and she was saying, you know, I could totally imagine why they were cheering, and it's not even necessarily that they were bloodthirsty hate mongers and they just loved the fact that this woman was bleeding out on some street.
That's how it looked to me, but yeah, there's probably more to it.
It did, but there's more to it in the sense that they sit there in Congress and in the White House. All these people in the Capitol sit there all day long thinking about terrorism and thinking that the world is hostile and that they're the saviors and that people want to hurt them because they're the saviors. They have this whole fantasy fiction of them being so important. And everything there around them in their environment reinforces that. The fact that there are cops everywhere with big rifles saying orders. They do drills, apparently. It's a common thing for them to have safety drills. And the cops there love it too because they get to look at all these people that are considered powerful and paragons, and the cops think that they're important because they're protecting these paragons of the society, which of course it's really not society, it's just the state. And so they were probably just cheering at the fact that the threat to them, which they might have perceived as something big, you know, they didn't know what was going on. They weren't looking at the video. All they heard was that somebody was coming to get them, and then they heard that their saviors, the police, stopped the threat, and so they might have just let out a cheer because of that.
Yeah, I lived in DC in what I call the summer of crack, the summer when crack was hitting the biggest, and I think it was 87 88, and that was the summer that the, or that was the year that the mayor of DC got set up buying crack with a prostitute on TV, the famous FBI sting video of B set me up is what he yelled. And then they elected him later, too, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I lived in a really crack-ridden, crime-ridden neighborhood and never got mugged, never got a gun pulled on me. But I never went down to the Capitol Mall, and I will never set foot in D.C. again because it looks to me like, you know, they consider every tourist down there snapping iPad pictures of the Washington Monument a threat to be neutralized with their Glocks, man.
Right. Yeah. And that was the other point is, you know, think about these people that are just sitting there bored all day with these guns and they just want a chance to use them. You know, they want some excitement.
Yeah.
Of course, when they see somebody barreling down the road, they're going to go to nuclear immediately because that's what they've been waiting for, you know, and it's just this, I'm sure it was just this primal urge of, okay, now it's time to get some and just letting the bullets fly.
It leaked recently. Alex Jones leaked it that, there are targets that police agencies and federal agencies buy that have like normal citizens on them and pregnant women and people in their homes and grandmothers in their bathrobe in their basement. You know, it used to be that the targets that police used would have like a thug, a guy who looked like a street thug holding a knife to a woman's neck. And, you know, the idea was to shoot the thug and not hit the woman, to practice hostage situations. But now they've eliminated the thug and the pregnant woman is the target. You know,
right. A pregnant woman pointing a gun at you. Yeah.
You know, a nice African American dental assistant from Connecticut with her baby in the back of the car is the target now. You know.
Yeah. And you know, the baby, they keep saying the baby appears unharmed, but that's not true at all. The baby's going to be harmed
for life.
For life, because her mother was shot to death in front of her eyes, and she might not remember it consciously when she's 20, but I bet it's going to have an effect.
Yeah,
on her.
And she's going to be put in the government system where that same government that was responsible for shooting her mother is going to be, you know, assigning a good government approved foster home for her.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just disgusting. And I wonder if in the future the Fed targets, the targets that these cops shoot, will have an IRS agent choking a citizen. And he's supposed to shoot the citizen, not the IRS agent. You know, instead of the thug with the knife to your throat, it'll have a bureaucrat with glasses and, I don't know, a pencil under your jaw.
Choking a taxpayer. Yeah, probably. The whole thing just blew my mind, man. It's, I don't know. I think they're beyond out of control, and they're to the point where they're shooting unarmed citizens who probably took a wrong turn because their GPS failed or something, murdering them, being applauded in Congress, and then being applauded in the media for shooting this poor lady.
Yeah. And, you know, I could totally see it happening just being a mistake. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't think anybody knows all of the facts yet. But I remember I was delivering pizzas to the state capitol a while back when I did that. And, you know, I had to go through the loading dock. And when I went there, the guy I was delivering to was one of the capitol security guards. And he was upset with me. He said, next time you come down that my ramp that fast, I'm going to jack you up. And what he meant is
shoot you.
No. They had the barriers, but theirs go in and out of the ground. Like they have barriers that pop up, and he meant that he'll hit the button and the barriers.
Destroy your car.
Yeah, exactly. And it was all because that's all he's looking for all day long. He sits there reading a blog probably and watching out for a threat so he can press that button.
You know what? No one's considered about this lady too is that maybe she hit the gas when she meant to hit the brake. That happens when you're panicked. It could really happen when a bunch of guys are screaming and pointing Glocks at your head.
Pointing guns. Yep. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends.
Under a bridge.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I am Nima Vedati out here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the interwebs from me. What's up, Mr. Dean? Wow, yes. That's your excitement over Alan Grayson saying the words Freedom Fiends. Obviously, he meant it in a derogatory manner, but hey, you can judge a man by who his enemies are.
Hey, you know, I'm just waiting for it to get entered into the congressional record now because I pay for that thing's administration. And, you know, Cody Wilson got condemned by name from the floor of Congress. It's time for the Freedom Fiends to get that same treatment. And we do have a foot in the door because Congressman Alan Grayson has said the word Freedom Fiends on TV in a derogatory manner.
Yes, there you go. Speaking of Freedom Fiends, well, let's talk about some actual Freedom Fiends. And I mean specifically the Dread Pirate. Oh, what's his name? The guy who runs the Silk Road. Dread Pirate Roberts. He was recently taken down by the FBI. Some people say it's because he got a little too greedy.
Feisty.
I don't know if it was a little too feisty. I mean, obviously he knew that he needs to evade the police. And the FBI actually put out a big report documenting how they got the guy, what the guy did, and all sorts of things. And some people have brought up the point that maybe this is that parallel construction. You know, maybe they got their actual tip from the NSA or something like that, and then the FBI had to retrace their steps, and that's why this report's so detailed. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
You know, Ben Stone said the same thing to me on the phone about a half hour ago, so great minds think alike.
Well, I think I got it from Facebook, so maybe Ben was looking at the same feed as me. I don't know. But I do know that the guy who ran the Silk Road, at least according to what he said, and Forbes actually did a write-up on him back in April, and has assorted quotes, collected quotations of the Dread Pirate Roberts.
He sounds like a Freedom Fiends episode. You know,
he does.
Guy is basically a libertarian ANCAP from San Francisco. For some reason, I would have guessed, if you'd asked me, that it would have been a lefty anarchist syndicalist from, you know, Prague.
I think he graduated from University of Texas the same year I did. I might have seen him in passing. Him.
Well, we don't want to say that. We don't want to conjecture
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we don't want to say that.
You'll get a tap on your door and a flashbang through your window.
Here's one thing he said. Everybody's calling the cops heroes for shooting this innocent woman. And what he called heroes is quoted in Forbes. This is his quote on the heroes who sell drugs on Silk Road. He says, "There are heroes among us here at Silk Road. Every day they risk their lives, fortunes, and precious liberty for us. They are on the front lines making tough decisions and working their butts off to make this market what it is. Of course, I'm talking about our vendors. I won't try to acknowledge them individually because we are blessed with so many extraordinary people who have stepped up to the task and taken it upon themselves to find a way to stock the shelves at Silk Road. They labor tirelessly to balance the heavy responsibilities they've taken on." Now, he's right. You know, this was a proof of concept, and he goes on, you know, in other quotations to say that this is based on libertarian principles. This is the Agora, and it's a proof of concept for how things could work without the state. But it's not even without the state if you think about it, because part of their actions, part of their operations had to be tailored with the elephant in the room, which was the fact that congressmen were saying we need to get the Silk Road, politicians were saying it, and the FBI was obviously busting their butts trying to put these people in jail, and apparently they were somewhat successful because they got the main guy. But the story doesn't end there, because there are tons of replacements trying to fill in the gaps. Now that there's not this huge behemoth in the Silk Road, there's a bunch of little guys. You know, now the marketplace has kind of opened up a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, too. A lot of those would be calling clones or replacements, but a lot of those actually existed while Silk Road existed. They're just getting more play now because there's no Silk Road.
That's true, but it leads to an environment where they're going to have to compete now because everybody knows there has been a top spot. So people know that they can achieve that level where they were doing like enough Bitcoin turnover. Like it was valued at $1.2 billion. You know, if you valued that Bitcoin that went through the Silk Road in dollars. So this is a huge industry, a huge market. And people are, now that they know that that's possible to achieve this kind of revenue, this kind of market share, they're going to be busting their butts to try to get the innovations to make that happen.
Yeah, it's whack-a-mole. I mean, you look at how they took down Napster and all the record companies got together, and Napster wasn't even very good, but Napster was the proof of concept. And after Napster, there was, what were the other?
There was LimeWire for a little bit, which also clunky. Had its own problems. Yeah.
And now there's BitTorrent through Pirate Bay, and it's flawless. Like, people who use it, I've been told, using a VPN, I mean, they can download – you could download any movie or song ever made, perfect copy of it, quicker than you can buy it, you know?
Yes. You can still watch Breaking Bad, the series finale, the night it comes out on TV.
Yeah,
just an hour after it ended.
And you can't do that on Netflix or other places. And that's a problem with the pay models. Like, most people, a lot of people would pay if they could, but they can't. And the free market takes up the slack. More on the Freedom Fiends after this.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house is in property.
Yeah. Life's getting better. Especially for the Freedom Fiends, since we got a shout out from prison from Adam Kokesh this week in his podcast, in his weekly dispatch over the cell phone to his people who put it up on the YouTubes. He said, "Hello, fellow liberty lovers and freedom fiends." And then we got cursed by a senator, congressman. I keep calling him senator. I keep elevating him. Congressman Grayson, Democrat, was complaining about libertarian Republicans in Congress, and he called them freedom fiends and said they just want you to sleep under a bridge. And he got that title from the title of our show. I like that the show name has been genericized, and a lot of people, when they're trademark or name gets genericized, they fight it. You know, like if you write an article and you say Scotch tape when you actually just mean any sticky tape, the Scotch tape company will probably write you a lawyer letter saying, you can't genericize that. And that's how they protect their trademark. On the Freedom Fiends, we feel the opposite. We feel that if you genericize our term and Freedom Fiends becomes a word for people who want the government to be reduced to the size where it drowns itself out of sadness in the bathtub, we like it. And we have a special co-host for the last half hour here, Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. How you doing, Ben Stone?
Hey, Michael. It's good to be back on the show with you.
It is. We always like having Mr. Ben Stone. So Nima is in the FEMA camps these days, or is it Gitmo? I forget. But he's on the work release program. He gets to come out and do the show and then go back to Gitmo. And sometimes he has to go back early. So he had to cut out early today. So, Ben, what do you think about? First of all, we want to define Silk Road. We're talking about it like people know what it is. But a lot of people are probably thinking that's that road from 2000 years ago in China. What is Silk Road, Ben?
Well, the Silk Road is an area on the internet that is black or darkened. You can't just go to it. You can't type in www.whatever and go to it. You have to know how to get there, and you have to go through some specific steps to get there. And once you get there, it is literally the free market on the internet. You can not anymore, but you used to be able to anonymously buy or sell anything that you wanted to, anything you felt you could buy or sell, and it was there.
Except weapons, and they were selling weapons on it, along with drugs and books and freedom of information and unlicensed radio transmission equipment and all sorts of things. But people complained because they were selling guns on it. The users complained, so the guy set up a separate site called the Armory where you could sell guns. And then he closed that site because it wasn't getting enough use. Because I guess most places you can just go buy a gun anyway. Either in America, you can walk into the sporting goods store like you can here in Wyoming and just lay down the money and walk out with it. Or in countries where guns are illegal and they've outlawed them against the will of what's free of the people, you can just buy them anyway. You can probably buy them easier. You know, I remember seeing this guy on the Reverend Al Sharpton show. My friend, he wrote a book called Black Man with a Gun, and he does a podcast called the Urban Shooter, and it's Pastor Ken Blanchard was a guest on there. So they were talking about why guns need to be outlawed, and Ken Blanchard is a gun guy. He doesn't want them outlawed, and he's an ethical, responsible gun guy, and he was showing that side of it. And then they had a gang member next to him, and then they had a mother whose kid had been shot in crossfire in a gang war. Those are the panelists trying to convince the listener that that you should outlaw guns, and that'll help. And the gang member, his contribution was just, I can get a gun right now, man. I could walk out this door, out of this studio in New York City, and buy a gun within 5 minutes. And that was what he had to say. And that's despite all of the draconian gun laws in New York City. So, yeah, man, you can't stop the free market. You can throw people in jail and crush their souls occasionally here and there. But it's like whack-a-mole, man. I mean, has the war on drugs stopped drugs, Ben?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, they're in great abundance. If you look at what is supposed to be the two places that are most government controlled in the United States of America are prisons and schools, and drugs are abundantly available in both.
drugs are more abundantly available in both than they are most other places. And, you know, I don't even know where I don't take drugs, and I've been sober for almost 20 years. I don't know where I'd go to buy drugs in this town. I probably would go to the welfare office and talk to people in front of it. That's, what I've heard people do when they're in a new city and looking for drugs. And that's a function of the government because, people who have been arrested for drugs generally can't get a job, so they're on welfare. And people like, you know, all the right wingers on TV will say, yeah, we need to drug test those welfare recipients. No, man, it's the war on drugs that made them welfare recipients. A lot of them had jobs selling drugs, or they had jobs, you know, working in a factory or doing something productive that you'd consider productive, Mr. Republican, Mr. Democrat. But they got arrested and they went to prison. And when they got out, they had a record. So they couldn't buy, they couldn't get a job. So they're on welfare. So the war on drugs not only, creates violence, creates an environment where people can kick in your doors, which if you're a gun owner, you should notice, because those are the same people that are going to be kicking in your doors in a few years when they outlaw guns. And, they've had a lot of practice doing it and getting away with it. And it also creates a welfare state. It adds to the welfare state because it makes it so people who've been arrested for drugs, for nonviolent crimes, cannot get jobs. It also increases the availability of drugs. Can you explain how that works? There'd probably be less drugs available if drugs were legal. Explain how that works, Ben.
Well, I don't know about the exact quantity, but as far as if you think of it like during Prohibition, back during the 1920s and early 1930s, there was one of the phrases is that the liquor flowed, and it really did. It actually, prior to Prohibition, beer was far more popular than during Prohibition, when hard alcohol was much easier to get and actually was in abundance. And the
That's
reason
it's
why
easier
is because
to smuggle.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens with drugs. They try to crack down on the marijuana, and cocaine becomes more popular. And they try to crack down on cocaine, and crack becomes more popular.
Yeah, because
and they try
they're
to crack down on crack
and heroin. Yeah, because they're much more valuable per pound. I mean, put it this way: it costs the same amount of money to smuggle a ton of something into a country, or a pound of something into a neighborhood, or an ounce of something into a prison or school. It takes the same amount of effort when it's illegal, when they're all illegal, regardless, to smuggle X amount in. So there's an economic incentive for people to smuggle only the things that cost more per pound. And white powder drugs cost a lot more per pound than green leafy drugs. So the war on drugs is the reason crack and speed and heroin are a bigger problem than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in the 70s, I was right in the middle of all that stuff back in the 70s, and almost nobody used crack cocaine, although we called it rock back in those days, but almost nobody used that, and almost nobody used meth, until, you know, the crackdown started coming in the early 80s. And the abundance of those harder drugs became and because they are harder drugs, they're far more addictive than the lesser types. So that even forces more people to want more of them.
Yep. It gives more of a return incentive for the distributors and sellers because they have, because people will buy some pot. There are people who smoke pot occasionally. There are not people who take heroin or crack or speed occasionally. You know, there are people that have perfect lives, have kids, have jobs, are professionals, have degrees, drive a Lexus, and they'll have some pot and they'll smoke it once a month when friends are over. And that is not true of white powders generally. They're so addictive that if you start using them once in a while, you end up using them every day and you lose your Lexus and you lose your Ford and you lose your bicycle. And, you know, then you're mugging people by holding a gun to them, and then you pawn your gun, and then you're just hitting over people over the head with a brick. You know, I remember in NA meetings in San Francisco, that was a common thing of people saying like, yeah, I hit bottom and I was hitting people over the head with a brick because I'd sold my gun, you know, like they'd gotten that low. And you can outlaw guns, but you can't outlaw bricks. And most people will let a stranger walk up to them on the street in a dark alley. And if they don't have a gun, I mean, they're just going to hit you over the head with a brick and take your money and maybe take your life and maybe give you a permanent brain damage. And that's all because drugs are illegal and they're not freely available at the Walmart, but hopefully in a different aisle than the flour, so there's no confusion.
And, you know, one of the wonderful things about places like Silk Road was that you eliminate the possibility of having violence and gang members and all that kind of thing. Those are just eliminated from the process.
Yeah.
The only people that are buying and selling on Silk Road and places like that are those who are doing so with a reputation, because just like eBay or anywhere else, Amazon, reputations are built up. And if people on there know that you're a ripoff artist, or you're not going to give them the right thing, or you're going to give them something watered down, they're not going to do business with you. And you don't have the possibility of, you know, having violence on a street where you have to go to some neighborhood and you have to go to some house that's questionable and you have to, you know, maybe take the risk of getting arrested or getting beat up or getting robbed. None of that happens with places like Silk Road. It becomes a very civil way of doing business.
Yeah, and we're not advocating drug use. Ben does not do drugs. I do not do drugs. Nima doesn't do drugs. Nima and I don't even drink. Ben drinks a little bit. He's not a drunk. We're not advocating drug use. We're basically pointing out the fact that the war on drugs causes more violence and ruined lives than drugs being legal would cause. You know, there's a saying I ran across recently that I really liked is, government can only do one thing. It will break your legs, hand you a crutch, and say, see, without the government, you wouldn't be able to walk. We gave you a crutch.
Yeah, that's actually old Harry Brown.
It is a Harry Brown quote. Harry Brown was a Libertarian Party presidential candidate, perennial candidate back in the day. He passed away a few years ago, and I will pour 40 ounces of Diet Coke on the ground in his honor right now. Hear it.
Yeah, now, just to be clear, you said that I wasn't a drunk, and that can be clarified as, at this moment, I'm not a drunk.
You mean at this time of day or this time in your life?
Well, at this particular moment, I mean, you know, I'm not a heavy drinker, but I do drink now and then. I enjoy a beverage.
And it's your right as a free human being. And unfortunately, you have to pay taxes on those drinks when you buy them. And when you buy the alcohol, because the government just loves to insert themselves into any situation they can and take a tariff. And that's one thing we liked about Silk Road, and that's what the government didn't like about Silk Road, was it was completely unregulated commerce. And the government always says, we need to regulate commerce and tax it and protect people, but it was bigger than a lot of mainstream businesses. So apparently it worked, you know, and government always says, without us, nothing would work, and you'd all be living under a bridge like a common Freedom Fiend troll. And that just ain't how it is here on the Freedom Fiends. We'll be back with more with Ben Stone sitting in for Nima Vidati on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Meow. Yeah.
Down that bass beat.
Yeah, and that's a song by my band, Right Arm of Wyoming. That's a song called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? And we're just speaking figuratively there. We do not endorse violence on the Freedom Fiends. We endorse questions. And a lot of people say, well, you talk a lot about what's wrong, but what's your solution? And we don't necessarily have one, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, back when they were trying to get rid of slavery, when smart people were saying, it's not right to own people. And a lot of people were saying, what's your solution? How would the cotton get picked? And the cotton gin hadn't been invented yet, and people didn't really have an answer. And I also think that just pointing out that the slavery is bad is worth doing. And without people first doing that, that things wouldn't have changed. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you need some government. You need to have protections. And I say that's like saying you need some slavery. And here on the Freedom Fiends, we don't think we need any slavery. And there are people coming up with solutions. And Bitcoin is one. It's a it's a decentralized currency that doesn't involve any government or corporation. And there was something called the Silk Road, where people could actually have the free market. And a lot of people who constantly say, we need more free markets, are the same people who are cheering the government for shutting down Silk Road. So a lot of people who say the free market don't really believe in the free market. What do you think, Ben? What's a free market to you?
Well, first off, back to what you were referring to earlier, too, though, each time you shut down something like the Silk Road, something else will pop up. So it's like playing whack-a-mole. You just can never, from a government point of view, you're never going to win, because whatever you pound down somewhere else, five or six more of them pop up somewhere.
Preach it, Brother Ben.
And a free market cannot be something that's regulated and taxed and controlled and has inspectors and has, you know, if it has those things, it's not a free market.
Yeah.
I think that's something that a lot of people who tend toward the left get confused about. They talk about, oh, well, we had a free market in banking and look what happened in 2006 or 2008 or whatever.
Testify.
No, you never
testify,
had a free market,
brother,
in banking.
Testify. Testify before Congress.
Hey, before we run out of time, it was great to hear Daniel earlier from Sun City calling in. That reminded me, that's some of my old stomping grounds out there around Sun City and Barstow and San Bernardino and that whole area up in there.
Yep. I like Barstow. It's cool. It's cool. So you lived out there now, and you live in the not even less free state of Ohio. A lot of people think California is horrible. It's the government incarnate. And it's like, I don't know, man. You can still kind of be free in California, especially outside the big cities, you know, in places like Barstow and California City and Sun City. But you're living in Ohio now. How do you like it, and what's it like there?
Ooh, you know, that's a loaded question. Ohio is very oppressive. They have, not only do we have federal government, we have state government. Yeah, everybody's got that. We have city government. Yeah, everybody's got that. And we also have township government. And so it's just one extra layer of thuggery that you have to deal with.
Yeah, and that's the people that want to do things like take your home if you're if you have too many dandelions in your backyard and they peer over your fence and see it.
Yeah, or the wrong kind of antenna on your house, or you don't have a permit for your antenna, or you want to park your motorhome or your boat trailer in your driveway. We can't have that.
You can't have an antenna on your house without a permit there?
Yeah, imagine that. You have to actually hide your antenna inside your or attic,
where it doesn't work.
Otherwise,
as well,
you have to get a permit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in England, when you buy a radio receiver, you have to get a license to own a radio receiver in England. You know, they hide it. It's in the part of the purchase price or whatever. They used to have to actually apply for it and send away for it. But to listen to radio, the government controls it there. And, you know, something I read by Gary North that I really liked in that book, Government by Emergency, is he says that the way governments operate is the government that taxes the most invisibly taxes the best. And that used to be the case, but I think that they've just given up on it and ramped it up to where they don't even want to hide the taxes anymore. They just want to say, we've added a new tax and we demand you pay it, because we're men with titles and write things down on paper, and they expect people to not complain. And I say on the Freedom Fiends, complain loudly and complain often. Vote loudly and vote often with your voice by complaining, because you ain't going to fix this at the ballot box. So go out and complain. And thank you, Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, for coming on the Freedom Fiends and filling in for Nima Vidati while he's at the FEMA camp.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FREEDOMFEENS.com.